you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, and welcome to The Upgrade, the podcast from the team at lifehacker.com, where we help you improve your life one week at a time. I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, deputy editor of Lifehacker.
And today we're talking about personal hygiene with professional clean person Jolie Kerr. Jolie's been a cleaning expert for Esquire, Deadspin, and The Hairpin, and she's also the author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. Starting this week, she'll be writing a column for Lifehacker's parenting vertical, Offspring, on how to be a clean parent.
You never want to bleach out pit-stained white t-shirts, say, because you're actually just going to make those yellow stains much, much, much worse.
So, Alice, I have to say one of my deepest held fears is that I smell bad and I don't know it.
Well, this is an awkward way to tell you no. I have to tell you that I think this is everyone's deepest held fears. It is mine as well, because of course, right? Like what if everybody knows a thing about you that they haven't told you, but they're all talking about behind
and
your
it's
back?
Really negative.
I mean, I've known people, and I'm sure you've known them as well, who don't smell bad necessarily, but definitely have like a kind of a scent to them.
Yeah.
They just give off like a personal scent that might be fine. It might be like a little bit, it might be a little bit off-putting. Melissa is now smelling herself. You smell fine.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am positive.
Okay.
But, or we smell the exact same way, so I can't tell.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
It's so subjective, right?
Right.
It's a worrying topic. Also, like perfumes that people put on that, I don't know about you, but I can't put on perfume because even if I like the scent of something, I'm so worried that what if somebody else doesn't?
Yes. And if you don't like the way someone smells, that means you don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dire for maintaining relationships.
Yeah.
We all have that friend who smells and doesn't know it, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And there's no good way to tell them.
Yeah. There's also so many different ways you can smell bad.
Right. And there's so many different
breath.
Oh.
There's sweat. There's food scents.
Yeah.
There's a weird perfume or laundry detergent you're using.
Right. There's that weird hormonal male funk that you sometimes smell on a random man that you find totally disgusting and repulsive, and it smells like nothing else.
When I was pregnant, it was unbearable because you become incredibly sensitive to smell, and I could smell everything. I was like the super taster of smells.
Super smeller.
Super smeller. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody was wearing a deodorant brand that I didn't like, I could smell it from across the room. It was really, really unbearable. I began to actively hate anybody who wore a scent.
I think there are a lot of people who actively hate anybody who wears a scent in an enclosed space, whether it's an elevator, an airplane, or a train, or a car. Generally, we don't want to smell each other.
No.
Unless we're up close and
like real close.
Real close.
Yeah. When you hug somebody, hello, if they have like a nice scent, that's a pleasant thing.
Right. That's the only time I want to smell somebody.
But also we live in New York City where you kind of have to get real close to people a lot on the subway, the buses.
Yeah. You get really good at just noticing that there's a funk and breathing through your mouth. Don't you? I'm great at it.
You got to do it.
Yeah. So we asked our audience for questions this week. I'd say 95% of the questions that people asked about personal hygiene for Jolie were about things that smell, themselves smelling, whether or not their sweat smells. Mm-hmm. We're all really concerned with this, so I'm excited to see what she has to say.
I like the question that asked, am I a monster at the end of it? Because I think that's everybody's
the answer
secret
is always
question.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, am I just disgusting and everybody else is not?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out. Now we're talking to Jolie Kerr about how to keep yourself clean. Hi, Jolie.
Hey, Jolie. Hey, guys.
We're so glad to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I think we want to begin by asking the question that everybody secretly wonders. How do I know if I smell?
I think it's such a difficult thing because it might be one of those things that's like knowing how your voice actually sounds that you can't actually know until you hear it back in some kind of way. I think probably the way to do it is, this is kind of gross. We're going to get gross today.
Yeah.
So I'll just stop apologizing in advance for being gross, like peddling gross. I think probably the best thing to do is to put your fingers under your armpits and smell the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I think an actual just sticking your nose in your pit doesn't necessarily yield the result you want, but perhaps if you transfer that scent onto your hand and then you smell it, that might give you an indication of whether or not you smell. You could also always ask a trusted loved one, trusted being the operative word there. Mm-hmm.
I have wondered if I smelled my entire life, and I am constantly asking other people if I smell because I'm so terrified about it. And I feel like that trusted person, you know, we're getting away from the realm of cleanliness and more into who can you trust. I find that people are usually too nice to actually admit it. Or maybe I never do smell, but I feel like I've never gotten a response, yes, you do smell, which makes me not trust anybody. It seems like this huge taboo, like to actually tell somebody they smell.
It really is. And I'll tell you, I don't actually know the perfect answer to this because it's so much more of an etiquette question than a cleaning question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you that I've been in a position where a very dear friend had a persistent odor issue that none of us ever addressed. And we were much younger. This was when we were in high school and college. And perhaps now that we're older, we would be able to handle it a bit differently, but we just didn't handle it. And unfortunately, what ended up happening, because we didn't address it, someone in her workplace did and really humiliated her.
Mm.
And she came to us, you know, crying and devastated and said, you know, is this true? And again, we all sort of just froze up and didn't really know what to say. And there's always a solution. The trick is to finding the compassionate way to convey the information that someone needs to solve what can be incredibly distressing problems.
Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about whether or not you smell, should you like err on the side of caution and just overbathe? Like how would you treat that?
I'm not necessarily sure that overbathing is actually going to solve the problem. It may exacerbate the problem in some ways. I think probably the sensible solution is to speak to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doctors are equipped to handle those kinds of issues and they will give you many solutions. Anything from using maybe a prescription strength deodorant to changing the fabric types that you're wearing and opting for natural fibers, which can breathe a bit better. You know, you could use garment shields, which are a very old-fashioned product that I think they seem to sort of come back around every now and again. That sort of fashion first aid brand, I think, keeps bringing them around. Garment shields are basically little pads. They're like almost like maxi pads for your underarms. You stick them into the underarms of your shirts and they're absorbent. So there are a lot of different options out there. Deodorant options, antiperspirant options, natural deodorants, garment shields, all of that kind of stuff. Botox, acupuncture, which is a popular solution that works for a lot of people who have overactive sweat issues.
So people use Botox on their armpits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I want to say that that's a very fraught thing. I'm not advocating for anyone to go inject themselves with botulism. Sure. That's a really, really personal choice. A lot of people report that using Botox does help them greatly. A lot of people report that there are some weird effects of having used Botox in that the sweat stopped under their arms but moved to other places in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So there are pros and cons to it.
Mm-hmm.
We asked our audience for questions for you when we knew that you were going to be coming on the show. And one of the things that surfaced is something that you've addressed in the past, sort of one of your Hall of Fame questions, I would say, which is that people are very self-conscious about genital odor.
Mm-hmm.
Testicular odor, vaginal odor. Can you give us some quick and dirty on what to do if you're concerned about that?
Sure thing. It definitely comes up all the time. If you're concerned about odor, you should try a few things in terms of changing up your grooming and bathing routine. If the problem persists after you've made these changes, go to a doctor. These are things that probably are not indications of a larger problem, but very certainly can be. And it's not a thing that you want to let linger for too long. Also, it's just embarrassing and it makes many of us feel very bad. One big thing to do is to really bathe yourself in the correct way. I advocate for the use of washcloths. I personally use a fresh washcloth every single day. use a clean washcloth. I buy inexpensive ones from TJ Maxx and Marshalls that are thin, so they're easy to launder. They don't take up too much extra room in the laundry. They dry quickly, and I can use a fresh one every day, and I can replace them when I need to because it's like $4 for a stack of eight. Use a soap that is mild and gentle and preferably dye and scent-free. Fragrances, dyes can irritate the genitals, both male and female, that can lead to or exacerbate odor issues. I really like bar soap. A mild bar soap is great. I would stay away from heavily perfumed body washes and such like. Again, those can really cause problems. Make sure that you're rinsing the area well so that you're not leaving soap residue behind. The soap residue can also lead to the creation of odor, which sounds counterintuitive, but it really can. Mm. When you're out of the shower, dry off very, very, very well and allow at least a few minutes of air drying time before you put your underwear on. Moisture will create odor issues. You may also find that you want to use a powder for men. Something like Gold Bond is very popular. Women, do not put Gold Bond on your genitals. I have tried it. It stinks.
Oh, the medicated?
Oh, I've done it.
Yeah. It hurts. Don't wake you up.
It's very cold and tingly.
I know you're not supposed to use talc, right? That's like
cornstarch.
Right. Cornstarch only.
Right.
Which is, I guess, Gold Bond.
So for women, if you're going to use a powder of some sort, make sure that it's not a talc-based powder. There are other products that you can use. Then moving into some other sort of personal choices you make. Try to stay away from synthetic fabric underwear. Use natural fibers. At the very least, make sure that you have a cotton crotch for women. For men, tighter styles can create odor issues. You may want to use a bit of a looser style. You may also, if you prefer the feel of a tighter style, you may want to look into a brand like MeUndies or Tommy John's. Those are very popular. And I hear...
They also advertise a lot on podcasts.
Yes, they do. They do. I'm not being paid to say that. I just happen to hear on my podcast, Ask a Clean Person, we have sort of some sort of famous question askers. And one of the famous question askers is a guy we call Jeff with the Balls. And Jeff with the Balls knows he's famous and like has a great sense of humor about it and thinks it's great. Jeff with the Balls did end up changing his underwear style. I think he went with the MeUndies and he reported back and he was like, oh, that totally solved the problem, actually. So really underwear style can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And then for women, staying away from things like compression pants or Spanx, anything that's very binding will also help. So those are some things you can do. But again, if the problem persists, please go see your doctor. And especially in the case of women, it can indicate that you might have bacterial vaginosis. That's easy to treat, but you need to get it treated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about grooming? Like, can that help with it? Like shaving or waxing the hair?
It can. And I think it's very important to say that this is a very personal choice, the way that you choose to style any hair on your body anywhere. That's a very, very personal choice that you should make in concert with understanding that if you do keep the hair trimmed, there will be less moisture that's getting trapped in the area. So that can help to cut down on odor issues if you feel that you're having them. But again, it's not a requirement of you to make a hairstyle choice. There are other things that you can do if you feel uncomfortable about trimming. If you do opt to trim, I would suggest don't use scissors. It's very, very easy to nick that incredibly sensitive skin. Opt for a beard trimmer with a guard attachment or not, depending on how short or long you want to keep it. But do use the trimmer. It's just a much safer option. Or, of course, you can wax. And there are depilatory creams that you can use, but really those are not meant to be used as close to the genitals as we're talking about. So be careful with that.
Mm-hmm. Virtual Brit asked, how should I really be cleaning my ears?
This is like triggering for me. I have serious ear problems. Don't use Q-tips in your ears. It's a very, very bad thing to do. Any ear doctor will tell you, do not ever use a Q-tip to swab out your ears. What I personally do is I clean my ears in the shower sort of gently, just using my finger and making sure that I'm not going too far into the canal. And then if I'm out of the shower and they feel a little damp, I'll take a tissue on my finger and just kind of gently sort of swab at the area with the tissue. And that tends to keep my ears very clean without going into the ear canal.
So you can't even use cotton swabs on the outside of your ears?
On the outside, sure. Yeah. But you don't want to. But the problem is no one stops
you
there.
Want to get
right.
In
yeah,
there.
I mean, and it's a natural human. We love to dig, right? Oh, sorry. I just triggered you.
You took me there. Yeah. It was emotion, I'm which is sort of like shoveling into the ear.
Yeah. So I mean, generally speaking, I just tell people it's such a human instinct to go from the outer ear right into the canal with that Q-tip. Just stay away from the Q-tips, mm-hmm. really. Again, in the shower, because I use a washcloth, I also use the washcloth to kind of scrub in the upper ear and around the side to get rid of all of my, you know, dry shampoo residue and my hairspray residue and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I give them a nice little scrub every day. I love a washcloth.
Yeah.
I love a washcloth. Yeah. I'm really obsessed with them.
I almost left the house the other day with like almost a cup of conditioner in my ear. Like I looked in the mirror and I'm like, what is that? It was like bright green conditioner in my ear. Like I hadn't just.
You're using Prel?
It's this like sea mineral, you know, algae conditioner.
Oh, okay.
And it's really green.
Uh-huh.
So thank God, because otherwise I maybe would have just come right to work with this conditioner in my ear looking like a real
a real
weirdo.
Fool. Yeah.
A real weirdo. So yeah, washcloths are a good idea.
While we're in the shower, when you go to the hair salon, they tip your head back into the sink. They massage your head and really work the shampoo in. And I think about this sometimes when I'm in the shower. How should I be washing my hair when I'm at home?
So one thing that I think people definitely do is they use way too much shampoo and they don't spend enough time on the massaging of the scalp and the rinsing, which are really the more important thing. I try all the time to be a better shampooer. I'm just impatient. I'm just impatient in the shower. One thing that's actually really helped me is I switched over my shower head to a handheld style so I can pull it off and really give myself kind of that salon style rinsing. Like I can tip my own head back in the shower and really get in there. And I do try to massage my scalp. My hair is insanely processed. So I also try to be really gentle with it. Right now it's pink. Last week it was bleach blondes. Next week, God knows, it'll probably be algae green. Like, I don't even know. So I try to be pretty diligent about being gentle with the way that I'm handling my hair and not really scrubbing at it, but making sure that I'm massaging my scalp nicely. And again, I do use a lot of dry shampoo because I don't want to overwash my hair. But that means that my scalp needs more attention because I need to make sure that I'm getting that residue out.
How often generally do you tell people to wash their hair? I know it's very different for different people.
I don't tell people how often to wash their hair.
Okay.
I know it's not my business how often they wash their hair. But the thing is that you can't really tell people that kind of thing because hair varies so much. For me, you know, as I said, right now my hair is very, very, very processed. Generally speaking, however, I have oily, fine hair that needs to be washed at least every other day. Some people have much drier hair and they find that their hair does better when they only wash it, say, every other week. So what I do tell people is play around a little bit with different washing cycles and pay attention to what your hair is doing. If you have fine oily hair like me, you're going to want to treat it differently from someone who has very thick, dry hair. And you should make the right choices. And you should buy the right formulas of shampoo for your hair as well.
What do you think of the whole no shampoo movement? People saying, like, your hair doesn't smell after a while if you keep not shampooing it.
I believe them. I personally can't make it through the length of time it requires to get over the hump with no shampoo. And I like my products and I like washing my hair and all that stuff. So it doesn't really appeal to me, but I certainly believe them if they say so. You know, it's not for me to tell them what they're experiencing. It's for me to listen to what their experience is and say, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that's for me, but it's interesting to know that that's really worked for you.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
here's a showering question from Must Be Tuesday.
Okay.
I seem to be weirdly bad at drying off after a shower. I stand in the tub and swipe as much water off my skin as I can with my hands, and then I rub the towel over every part of me individually, and then I'm still damp. The only solution I found is to leave the bathroom and do other stuff while either naked or wearing a house coat.
I loved that line about the house coat. I was like, that really like speaks to my soul.
Totally. I want a photograph of the house coat. I want to know if it's like a snap front, because I would like one of those. Is there a faster way?
Yeah, actually, I think the problem is not that you're bad at toweling off. I think the problem is that you're laundering your towels wrong and they're not absorbent.
Ooh,
yeah.
I know.
This is like a twist answer here.
Yes.
A mistake that people make all the time. It's a totally understandable mistake, because you think, oh, I want these fluffy, soft towels, and so I'm going to use fabric softener on my towels. And actually, you mustn't ever use fabric softener of any sort on your towels. Here is why. Both the liquid fabric softener and the dryer sheet form of fabric softener will leave a coating on your towels that will make them less absorbent. And of course, the whole job of a towel is to be absorbent. So you're taking away its ability to do its job for you. I'm not, however, going to take away your fluffy, nice, soft towels. I'm going to give you some alternatives to the fabric softener that you can use to make sure that your towels are nice and fluffy, but still are absorbent. So one of the things that you can use is you can put a half a cup of white vinegar into the rinse cycle of the wash. White vinegar is magic. One of the great properties that it has is when you use it in the rinse cycle of the wash, it serves as a natural fabric softener. The other thing that you can do instead of using the dryer sheets in the dryer is you can use dryer balls. Dryer balls will help to fluff up the towels. They'll actually also help to speed up the drying time, which is great. You can buy a set of dryer balls. There are rubber ones that are kind of nubbly. There are wool ones that are not nubbly. You can use a, you know, child sneaker that you've put into an old sock and tied up, and that will work very well. Tennis balls also work very, very well. The one I do not want you guys buying, I don't want you guys buying the ones that look like little hedgehogs. I know they're cute, but they're vicious. I had lost dryer balls and I needed to go purchase new ones. And the only ones that they had were the hedgehogs. And I thought, ugh, I hate these dumb things, but I'll buy them anyway because I need them. Their noses are black. Their noses came off and stained all of my brand new white towels with little black marks. I triaged it. So I fixed the problem, but it was intensely annoying. So please don't buy the hedgehogs.
How did you solve the problem?
I soaked the towels in Cascade powder, the dishwasher detergent. I want to also say that's like a nuclear option trick. Don't use that often because it's a fairly harsh method to use. But in the case of these towels, I threw them in the bathtub, hot water, scoop of Cascade powder, soaked them for, probably overnight. It was a good long soak. And then I wrung them out. I dragged them back down six flights of stairs to the laundromat and re-laundered them, and the staining all came out.
Duffzilla asks, I asked a friend who uses Soli body wash how they clean their asshole. Why did you have to use that word? Without a washcloth. They said they use their hand. Is this common? I assume the majority of people need a washcloth to properly clean, but I may be wrong here.
I think the question is, can you use your hand to wash your backside?
Yes.
I feel like I'm not going to wash myself as well without a washcloth, because I just don't imagine myself feeling as comfortable sudsing up different areas with my hand.
Right.
Does that?
Yeah. And I'll preface this by saying I'm incredibly vain. And one of the things that I'm incredibly vain about is my skin. So I like the washcloth because I want to make sure that I'm sloughing off all the dead skin and then I'm like soft. But also, yeah, I find certainly with my private areas, yeah, I don't think I would feel as clean just using my hands.
I want to second your advocating the handheld shower head. I feel like for cleaning hard to reach parts of your body, it's key.
Yeah.
If you're worried about smelling or you're worried about not getting certain parts of your body clean enough, you can really get in there. Like, I don't know, like there are certain parts of my ankle that I feel like would never be clean if I didn't get in there with it. Yeah, I've got to get really close and spray around my ankle bone.
Get those ankles clean.
Unpack there, I feel like.
Yeah,
your ankles.
It's a very complicated ankle with a lot of labyrinthine twists and turns. Yeah, I've got to get in there.
She's got clean ankles, I would say about her.
The other thing I'll say this is obviously much, much more in my wheelhouse. One of the reasons I also made the switch over to the handheld is because it makes it easier to clean your tub and your shower. You know, once you've done all your scrubbing with your products, I just take the shower head off and I just spray the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does make cleaning so much easier.
Also makes it easier to clean things like air conditioner filters.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about bleach real quick? This is not really personal hygiene.
Yeah.
But I'm okay, but it kind of is. My husband is obsessed with bleach. Mm-hmm. He loves to use bleach. He loves to use it. And we just got a new place where we have a washer and dryer, not to brag, but we do. It's very exciting for New York City apartments. And
over here seething with jealousy.
I'm sorry. Yeah. One of the instructions on it was no bleach because it's got a, I guess because the drum is stainless steel and it says it'll damage the drum, whatever.
Okay.
And I'm perfectly happy with this because I think he overuses bleach and I think it actually is yellowing the whites we have.
It sure is.
But he insists that it's the only way to make things white and he is now in a froth about the whole thing.
No, it's, first of all, you should not be using that much bleach on your laundry. If it really makes you feel better, by all means, again, I come to this job with the philosophy that I'm not here to dictate to you what you should and shouldn't do. I'm just here to provide information. But some of the information that I have to provide to you is the facts, which are...
You're wrong. You're wrong, Scott. Say it.
Well, no, I'm not going to say Scott,
say
you're wrong.
Say his name.
I'm gonna say,
you just said it.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Scott, if you're using bleach on your whites that have protein on them, which means sweat, sexual fluids, blood, anything. Chlorine bleach has a reaction to a protein stain that renders the protein stain more yellow.
Mm.
You never want to bleach out pit-stained white t-shirts, say, because you're actually just going to make those yellow stains much, much, much worse.
Mm.
The thing that you do want to be using is oxygen bleach. Oxygen bleach does not have that chemical reaction, and it will make things white. Now, I don't know if he is insistent on using the bleach because he thinks it makes things white or because psychologically he thinks it makes things clean.
Clean, yes.
Okay.
I think it's both. I think it's both.
So with just the facts, we can remove the whitening thing and mm-hmm. say, no, you actually are better off switching from chlorine bleach to oxygen bleach. And there you go. You will actually come out with much whiter clothes. Tell him about the cascade thing, too. Maybe
okay.
he'll be into that.
Yeah, I think he will.
In terms of the psychology of feeling that bleach cleans better, bleach does disinfect quite well. There is a reason that it is still used heavily in hospitals, in nursing homes, in homes with people who have compromised immune systems. However, I have an alternative product that I can suggest. Maybe you want to go get him a bottle and see if this makes him feel better about things. There's a new product. It's like literally just like months old. I've been using it. I got a press sample of it. I really, really like it. I think I probably like it mostly for psychological reasons. I launder at a laundromat. Sometimes I get anxious about how many people are using those machines to wash very dirty things. This stuff is called Lysol Laundry Sanitizer. It claims to kill 99% of bacteria in laundry. In order to be able to make that claim, they had to have gone through the FDA. So I feel fairly confident that Lysol means that when they say that, because otherwise they would be in a heap of regulatory trouble for claiming that on the label of the bottle. The thing that is quite nice about this laundry sanitizer is that it is, unlike chlorine bleach, safe to use on all colors. So if he needs psychologically to feel that he's disinfecting his laundry, try to get him into that.
Okay.
We can go out for drinks and I can talk to him about
all right.
more about laundry issues.
We'll set it up.
Better yet, why don't you invite me over?
Okay. With your laundry?
With my laundry.
Perfect. Nice try.
I'll bring wine and laundry.
If you're bringing the wine, I'll overlook the laundry.
Here's a laundry question from Messy Macaroon.
Messy Macaroon's
back. If I keep my clothing in a closed piece of furniture for more than a couple of days, it smells bad. It doesn't matter what detergent or type of furniture I use. I just end up keeping drawers open and clothing lying around on random surfaces. So, right. So Messy Macaroon's house is just covered with clothing strewn everywhere because closets and dressers and enclosed spaces seem to...
It's less the clothes strewn everywhere, which does make me very anxious. But like, you know, you guys can all live the way you want to live because it actually doesn't make a difference to me how you live in your home because I don't live there. But the drawers ajar makes me feel like very, very, very anxious about things. Okay, I have sort of two thoughts on this. First of all, it sounds like the clothes themselves are retaining what's known as malodor. The retention of odor in otherwise clean clothes is a very, very common thing. Many people have it happen mostly with their gym gear. There are a lot of ways to address malodor using a sports detergent or, a detergent that's formulated specifically for odors. They tend to be marketed as sports detergents is one good thing. Going back to that, the tip I gave you about the towels, putting a half a cup of white vinegar into the rinse cycle not only serves as a natural fabric softener, but it's a natural deodorizer. When it comes to putting things into the dryer, malodor will be amplified in the dryer if you're using medium to high heat. So switching to a no or low heat or even air drying will really, really help cut back on odor retention. Those are kind of the basics. That's the way to address the problem with the clothes if that's where it's coming from. It sounds, however, like maybe the problem is coming from the drawers themselves, in which case you just need to put an odor eliminator into the drawers to absorb the odor that's then being transferred into your clothes. Activated charcoal is a great way to go. I think that's probably the thing I would recommend.
While we're on the topic of laundry, I'm going to ask another question for me, or maybe for other people too. I just had some items dry cleaned, and I'm not convinced that anything actually happened to them.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what do you think of those dry clean things you can use in your own dryer? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Or yeah, like, the dry aisle type.
Yeah.
I used those products when they first came on the market. I didn't like them. I have never used them since. I don't know if the formulas have improved since. I mean, when I say first on the market, it was when I was just out of college, so it was the late 90s. I imagine that they're much improved since the late 90s. But they turned me off. They left sort of a funny scent on top of the lingering odor, and I just have never gone back to them again. I've read some people saying they like them, but I've never really seen enough evangelizing about the at-home dry cleaning kits to really think that they're worth our time. In terms of sending things to the dry cleaner, one of the things that dry cleaning is not good at is it's not good at odor removal. If you need stains removed on a dry clean only or a temperamental fabric that you would prefer not to try to handle on your own, dry cleaning is great for that. But for odor removal, dry cleaning is just not that great.
So what do you do for items that need to be dry cleaned but also need to be de-stinkified?
You can use any manner of odor eliminating products. Misting with a little white vinegar will work. Vodka also works. Again, misting is kind of the operative word here. You can use products like Osium would do it. Lysol might do it. Stay away from Febreze. Those are really odor maskers, not so much odor eliminators. Hmm. I actually wrote a column for Racked about this very topic, about what goes on at the dry cleaner and why things come back and you feel like this doesn't seem like it got clean. One of my colleagues at Racked asked me the same question. It's a very common question.
Yeah.
And I had just had the privilege of getting a tour of Madame Paulette, which is New York City's like fanciest dry cleaner.
So we're not going to mention the Real Housewives here. Keep going. you don't know what I'm talking about?
You and I might have a problem. I'm ride or die for Jorinda. That's how I got the hookup. One of my friends is friends with Jorinda and introduced me to John Medesian.
This is a conversation for another time. Continue.
Oh, boy. Things are heating up.
But of course, you know, I'm a Real Housewives super fan, and I am a cleaning expert, and my holy grail interview was to interview John Medesian. And I did interview him, and I loved him, and he and I are still in touch, and he told me, he's like, he is who he is on the show. I really liked him, but he is who he is on the show, and he, at one point in the interview, was like, "Here, take my number. Call me in the middle of the night and tell me your secrets." It's like,
that's
all right,
a good
John.
Story. So, right, just for the uninitiated in the Life Hacker audience who don't know what Madame Paulette or who is or who John Medesian is,
you want me to explain who this is?
Just real quick.
So, there's a reality show on Bravo called The Real Housewives of New York City. One of the housewives is a woman named Jorinda Medley. Her boyfriend is John Medesian. John Medesian owns Madame Paulette, which is a very, very high-end dry and specialty cleaning concern. They have restored Princess Diana's gowns. They work for doing all the tour cleaning for artists like Usher. John is a larger-than-life character. He's been featured on the show. And sort of his shtick on the show is that he's always making, like, dry cleaning jokes. And his shtick in real life is very much the same. Like, he's very much like that. So I am a big fan of The Real Housewives of New York City, and obviously also a big fan of cleaning anything like that. So
you went on a tour of Madame Paulette.
I went on a tour of Madame Paulette. The facility is in Long Island City. It was fascinating, fascinating. And then I interviewed John, and then John drove me back into the city in his Jaguar while we cranked butts, which is Boston's term for we were smoking cigarettes in his car, and took me over to the boutique on the Upper East Side, which is where everyone goes to drop off and pick up their stuff.
Quick question. Yeah. You're a clean person who smokes.
Yes.
Tips for people in our audience who worry that they smell like cigarette smoke.
Yeah. I mean, people, first of all, I have to say, are like just shocked when they find out that I smoke. For the smoke thing, I mean, look, cigarette smoke is just really, really insidious. And if you smoke in the home, I know most people at this stage in the game don't really smoke in their home. A couple of things you can do. Osium is a product that I mentioned earlier. That is a really excellent odor, spray-based, airborne-based odor eliminator. It's what pot smokers use to get the smell of pot out of their homes. Works very, very well on cigarette smoke also. Leaving out little bowls of white vinegar. White vinegar is, in addition to removing odors in your laundry, it will absorb odors in the air, and that really works too. For your clothes, again, you know, don't spray perfume on yourself. You're just going to smell like cigarettes and perfume. You know, stick with things like the vodka or the white vinegar spritz. That will really help. But I mean, if you've just smoked, you're going to smell like smoke. So if you don't want to smell like smoke, don't smoke is really, unfortunately, the answer. And I say this as a smoker. I love smoking. It's disgusting and dirty, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I love it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh My Heavens asks, what should I do for leather shoes like ballet flats that I wear without socks to prevent them from getting smelly? And what do I do after they've become imbued with foot stink?
Yes. I love the way that she asks. She asks exactly the two right questions, which is, what do I do to prevent it? But then also, I live in the real world and I know it's going to happen. So what do I do when it actually happens? So there are a couple of things that you can do. Yes, ballet flats get really, really, really stink. I'm a big wearer of ballet flats, so I know that pain. A couple of things that you can do to sort of keep the smell at bay. Invest in a set of what's called sneaker balls. It's a bit of a misnomer because they can be used in things other than sneakers. But basically what they are, they're small little balls. They're about the size of a golf ball, a little smaller than a golf ball. They come in sets of two. Usually you can buy sort of six at a time. So you have, you know, a set for more than one pair of shoes. You just pop one into the shoes after you've taken them off and put them away for the night, or put them down wherever you're putting them, and they will absorb odors. Another thing that is great is the shoe sprays. They really do work very, very well. Two brands that I'm sort of always recommending. There are lots and lots of them on the market, but these two just seem to be easy to find in drugstores, on Amazon, all those kinds of places. There's a Dr. Scholl's one called Odor X, and there's a Kiwi one called Fresh Force. I've gotten good feedback on both of those brands. So the sprays really work both for preventing and for eliminating odor when it does develop. And one of the reasons that the odor develops is that, and we're going to get a little gnarly here, I'm sorry, if you're triggered by feet, tune out now. The dead skin from your feet sloughs off onto the interior of your shoe. If you look at the inside of your shoe and you see sort of those little black spots in there, that's your dead skin. And then it hangs around and it rots.
Oh,
I'm so sorry that I just did that to you. So oh, it's Alice, I'm
charnel.
So sorry.
Charnel? Okay. Is that how you say that word?
Yeah.
Charnel? Charnel? Charnel?
Oh. Yeah. Like, if you've sprayed the shoes using one of those two sprays or any similar product and you're still having odor, then you're going to got to go in and you're going to have to scrub out all that dead skin. Now, it's very easy and it's kind of satisfying. So the idea is that you basically want to take a small amount of baking soda or oxygen bleach, either are fine, put it into a small bowl, dilute it with a little bit of water, not a lot. You don't want this to be a very, very liquidy situation. You just sort of want, well, like a paste. And get an old toothbrush, obviously not the one that you're going to put back into your mouth. I do have to say that. Dip it in and just scrub. And the combination of the toothbrush and the sort of paste of either baking soda or oxygen bleach is going to scrub away the dead skin. And it's going to have a little bit of an odor eliminating effect on its own too. When you're done, just get, you know, a cloth or a paper towel and use clean water to wipe out the residue from the baking soda or the oxygen bleach. Dry it out, let them air dry, and you should be A-okay. So that technique is very, very good on things like on Birkenstocks, on flip-flops. It's easy to do with ballet flats. It's a little bit harder to do with a higher vamp closed shoe. So just to tell you the technique. For the higher vamp closed shoes, see, the thing is, though, is with those shoes, most people are wearing socks with them, so it's less of an issue in terms of the dead skin buildup. But if you are wearing those without socks and you have a dead skin buildup issue, a bathroom wipe is a great way to get in there and kind of scrub. Use your fingernails and the wipe to kind of lift off the dead skin.
You mean like one of those?
Like a baby wipe or okay. An adult bathroom wipe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What about if your feet smell and you aren't wearing your shoes without socks?
Then you want to go back to basically what the instructions were for your genital odor, which is you want to start with the way that you're cleaning yourself in the shower. You want to be using a washcloth and a good deodorizing bar soap to really scrub at your feet. That's going to start addressing especially the dead skin problem where it begins, because the washcloth is going to help to slough off a lot of that dead skin. Scrub very, very well. Make sure you're getting in between your toesies. That's a big odor area with the feet. Rinse very well again. You don't want soap residue because that will contribute to the development of odor. When you get out of the shower, just like with your genitals, you want to dry off your feet very, very, very well. And then you want to give them some more time to air dry before you put your socks on. There are many products out there that can address foot odor issues, everything from powders. I don't love powders because I find them messy to apply. It's also the same reason that I don't really advocate for sprinkling powders into your shoes. I just think that creates like a gummy, powdery residue in your shoes. I would prefer that you use those sprays. Those sprays can also be used directly on your feet. And there are other kinds of sprays that are designed specifically for use on your feet. There are also foot deodorants. Foot deodorants are a thing that exists in this world. They're actually deodorants for like everything. There's hand deodorant I discovered recently. I was researching something and I found a hand deodorant that's marketed towards hockey players, because I don't know if you guys know any hockey players. I do. And the smell of their gear is really something else again. And so it stands to reason that there are companies that make these sort of hand deodorants that you put on before you put on your hockey gloves, the same as lacrosse gloves, boxing gloves, to help keep the perspiration at bay and to fight the development of odors. But those things can be used for all other uses. And actually, I found one hand deodorant that I know this was specifically about feet, but there are a lot of feet ones. I found one hand deodorant that markets itself to like the Tinder set so that you don't have sweaty palms when you go on a first date. And nice. I was like, that's really clever marketing, actually.
While we're talking about gloves, winter gloves seem like something, unless they're made of a washable material, that never get cleaned mm-hmm. on the inside. Mm-hmm. Same with like leather slippers, let's mm-hmm. say. How do you clean things like that?
Basically with gloves, you turn them inside out and just do a little, basically a hand washing. You just take a, you know, soft cloth that dilute a small amount of detergent into a bowl of water. Just wipe the interior of the gloves off with a washcloth is actually the perfect thing for this. A sponge is fine too. And then, you know, do the same thing with clean water to rinse, leave them inside out to dry and good to go. For the leather, you can use leather cleaner and conditioner. Cadillac is the brand that I use. The many, many good ones. I just know it's helpful for people to get a brand name. That's how you clean the exterior. You should be cleaning your gloves. Your gloves are filthy. Your gloves are filthy. They are not, however, as filthy as your winter scarves, you guys. Your winter scarves upset me greatly. The reason that you are sick all winter long is because you keep sneezing into your scarf. I know you're all blowing your nose into your scarf, too, because I see you do it on the subway. I know. I see you do it on the subway. I know. And I know sometimes you can't help it because your nose is running and you don't have a tissue.
I think you are mistaking some disgusting humans for our audience.
Not our audience. And look, I'm going to tell you, I've had to wipe my runny nose on a scarf before because I didn't have a tissue. And, you know, you go from freezing cold to, you know, the F train that's 10,000 degrees and your nose starts running. But then I take the scarf home and I wash it.
Yeah.
Sal asks, I'm a woman and I have a lot of discharge. Like, it's often damp down there. I asked my doctor and he said it's not a medical condition. How do I deal with it?
Great. Well, first of all, I'm glad it's not a medical condition. And I'm glad that you asked your doctor because that's you did exactly the right thing. Vaginal discharge is an incredibly fraught and difficult topic. It's something that we don't often talk about. We should, but we don't. And I completely understand why. So let's talk about some of the ways that you can address a discharge issue and some of the related issues, not just the dampness. There are some other issues around discharge. First of all, I want to say discharge is a good thing and we should be very proud that we have it. It is the function of the fact that our vaginas are self-cleaning, and that is amazing. And we should celebrate that. We should say, good for you, vagina, for being such a smart organ that you self-clean yourself. But then there's a little bit of extra stuff that needs to be dealt with. So in terms of having what you feel is an excessive amount of discharge and the discomfort of feeling damp, probably the best ways to address this is to use panty liners. Now, panty liners come in both disposable and reusable forms. So if you are concerned about the waste factor of using a disposable panty liner, do go and look into the reusable ones. They're launderable. You just wash them like you wash your underwear, and that will cut down on the amount of waste that you're creating. Of course, some people do prefer the disposable ones for convenience or because the idea of washing a reusable panty liner offends them in some way. They're both good options, and so you should know that they're out there. One other good thing to do throughout a woman's monthly cycle, your levels of discharge will change. There will be days when the discharge is heavier than other days. Tracking your cycle can help you learn when you're going to have a heavy discharge day versus a light discharge day. It's not going to be an exact science, but it's going to be pretty close. There are loads of period trackers out there that also allow you to track other portions of your cycle. I think the one that I use is called IP Free. I really like that one because it gives me an alert 5 days before I'm going to get my period that, like, put dry spray on yourself tonight because you're going to be hit with night sweats starting tonight. So tracking your cycle can really help with the managing of discharge issues. Let's talk a little bit about one of the other issues that come along with it. So vaginal discharge falls on the pH scale between 3.5 and 8. It tends to be more on the acidic side. If you are a person whose discharge falls more towards the 3.5 side, the more acidic side, you are likely noticing some problems around staining in underwear. What it actually is it's a bleaching effect caused by the acid in the discharge. If you're noticing that your black or dark underwear are coming out with what almost look like rust stains, that is being caused by the acid. Switch to a lighter colored underwear to address that. If you're noticing that discharge is not being washed out of your underwear, that's because discharge is a protein stain, and protein will harden. If you think of if you make eggs in a skillet and you eat the eggs and don't wash the skillet right away, you come back, say, an hour later, you're scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing to get that egg residue off because it's hardened and congealed on there. Eggs are protein, just like our vaginal discharge is protein, and they'll behave similarly. So if you're noticing that clean underwear is coming out with still sort of a buildup, a crusty buildup is how most people describe it, even though it feels like a fraught term, but that is really the right way to describe it. There are two different things that you can do. First of all, after you've taken your underwear off, you know, either in the evening or in the morning, whenever you're taking it off, just give them a quick rinse under cold running water to flush out some of that discharge so it's not sitting there. The same idea as rinsing a pan out shortly after you use it so that the egg residue isn't sitting there. You want to just rinse them out. If you don't want to do that, can't do that, forget to do that, use an enzymatic stain pretreatment product. I usually recommend Zout, Z-O-U-T. That is a very, very good enzymatic stain remover. That will help to neutralize those protein stains in the wash. So that will be very, very helpful for you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, it's time for our upgrade of the week. Each week we discuss our upgrade, the one small thing that's made a big difference in our lives. Melissa, what's your upgrade this week?
This upgrade came out of a downgrade. My downgrade, which I don't recommend to those of you, and I know there are a lot of you, who grind your teeth at night. I stopped wearing my night guard, which I'm supposed to wear so that I don't grind my teeth down to dust and also so that I don't get terrible headaches. But I prefer to fall asleep without the night guard in, so I like to see how long I can go before I start to get painful jaw aches and headaches in the course of a day without wearing the night guard. And then I start wearing it again. Anyway, so I didn't wear it. Today, the headache came. And my upgrade is that I feel like I have truly found a way to relieve the pain of the teeth grinding headache, at least temporarily, which is to rub this spot, which is almost where your top and bottom mandibles, is that right? Where they meet, there's kind of like an indent. And if you rub there, it is the most glorious release from the type of headache pain that you get from grinding your teeth. So if that's not clear, tweet at me or email me and I will explain further. But rubbing this little spot where my jaw meet, where my jaw meets.
The old mandible rub.
The old mandible rub. It's
classic upgrade.
It's one of those releases from pain that is ecstatic.
That's a good spot. I'm trying it out right now.
That's
a really good.
Even if you don't have the pain, do you know?
Even if you don't, no, because it's. I think it's
there's
a
like a
tense area.
There's something. There's probably like a meridian point or something there.
All right, Jolie, what's your upgrade?
Well, actually, mine is washcloth related.
Oh,
I had been using all white washcloths. I use all white towels and all white washcloths. And then I switched my makeup removal routine. I went the full 10-step, you know, oil cleanser and so on. And for that, I realized I really needed a washcloth to be washing away the oil cleanser and then the foam cleanser. And the makeup residue was really staining the white washcloth. So I went and I bought myself a second set of dark gray washcloths just for my makeup removal. And then I went one step further, and this is what the real upgrade is. And everyone's going to kill me for this because I know it like really falls into like crazy Jolie territory, but I love it and it makes me happy. I bought myself a little stand for my bathroom that has three tiers. And on the bottom tier, I can keep my toilet paper. And on the middle tier, I keep my white washcloths. And on the top tier, I keep my gray ones. And I fold and roll them all spa style and have them out. And I have to tell you, it's such a small thing. It does not take me very long at all to do this, but it feels so decadent in the evening when I reach over and pluck a rolled washcloth off to start taking my makeup off. And in the morning when I pick up a rolled spa style washcloth to take into my shower with me every day, it just feels wonderful and I love it. And every time someone comes into my home and uses the bathroom, they walk out and they just go, "Jolie." And I know exactly what it is that they're referring to. And I'm like, it makes me happy.
I can totally see that. I roll my towels on the shelf in the linen closet and I find it extremely luxurious.
Yeah. This is giving me ideas for towel storage, guys.
The whole new place, whole new life, whole new towel storage.
New towels. Yeah.
So, Alice, what's your upgrade this week?
Well, since I did move, we took the opportunity to get ourselves a new mattress. A couple of years ago, we got a mattress. I won't name the company, but it was one of those online things where you get a mattress that fits into a refrigerator box. And it was terrible. It was terrible. It was very, very soft. And I had sort of convinced myself it was fine. you know, like it's good enough. And my husband was miserable in it. And we now have a teenage son. So we were like, let's give him the mattress that is too soft for us. He's a young boy. He can handle it. Let's get ourselves an extra firm mattress. And we did the whole like go into the store and trying out mattresses thing. And I didn't honestly think it would make a huge difference in my life, but it's everything. And it's extra firm. It's like, it's a little like sleeping on a board. And at first I'm like, this is way too firm, but it's been amazing. It's been amazing on my back. I can sit and read a book and I'm not like having a back spasm.
Or falling down into a chasm.
You're not sinking constantly.
Are you sleeping better also?
I'm sleeping really well. I'm really into it. So that's my upgrade.
That's huge. That's more than a little change.
It's a big change.
Yeah, big old change. Get a new mattress.
Big change, new mattress. Yep. Everyone get one. Extra firm.
Yeah.
Firmest you can handle.
And then go one firmer.
And get even firmer.
Thank you so much for being here, Jolie.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really, really, really fun.
And that's our show. Come find us on Twitter. You can find me at Melissa Kirsch. You can find Alice at FinSlippy. You can find Jolie Care at Jolie Care. And of course, you can find Lifehacker at Lifehacker. The Upgrade is produced by Levi Sharp, who's on Twitter at Levi Sharp. Our executive director of audio is Mantana Mofidi. Brad Fisher mixed the episode.
Got an idea for a future episode of The Upgrade? Email us at upgrade@lifehacker.com or go old school and leave us a voice message at 347-687-8109. And you can always find us on Panoply, NPR One, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Follow Lifehacker on Facebook at facebook.com/lifehacker. And you can find show notes for this and every episode of The Upgrade at lifehacker.com/the show.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.